Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast in which I, Scott McNulty, watch a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. My non-random guest on this episode is Swoozie Clancy. Swoozie, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. So why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a nurse. That's my day job. I do kidney liver transplant nursing, which is fun and exciting. I used to do oncology, which was also fun, but very sad. otherwise, just into general nerdery.
Including Star Trek?
Including Star Trek now. This is a new adventure for me, Star Trek.
Really? So tell me a little bit about this new adventure you've embarked upon.
So I've never actually been a Star Trek fan until recently. I've known so many people that watch Star Trek and for whatever reason never really picked it up. I was an X-Files fan as a teenager. That was my big show. So I've seen random episodes of, I think, almost every Star Trek series except maybe Enterprise. I don't think I've seen any of Enterprise.
Probably keep it that way.
Like, everybody who I'm very social with on Twitter loves The Next Generation, so I decided that I would try watching it, and then I've just been marathoning it for the last couple months.
So where are you now in The Next Generation watch-a-thon?
About halfway through season 6.
Ah, okay, so you're well into it. So what did you think of, there is the first season of The Next Generation is difficult.
I powered through it, though. I powered through. It had some good episodes. Like, I really loved the second episode, the kind of the Space Madness homage to the old Space Madness episode.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably my favorite one of the first season. And I loved Tasha Yar. She was, like, my first favorite character.
And then she gets killed.
I know, so early on.
Well,
not even in, like, a very fun and exciting way. It's just like Tar Monster.
It's true. You had to pick a way to die. Tar Monster is not very high on the list.
No.
I believe the actress, based on the first season's scripts, did not think that Star Trek The Next Generation was going to last very long. So she wanted to get off of the show. But sadly, for her, she was wrong. But
she was totally wrong. It went on to be a super rad show. And she even came back as Romulan Tasha Yar. So.
That's right. So she did miss out.
Yeah.
And speaking of Romulans, this is, in fact, the first episode of Random Trek where we're watching an episode that features Romulans.
Mm-hmm.
Although I wouldn't describe this as a Romulan episode of Star Trek. I have this idea that there are a bunch of subgenres of Star Trek, and certainly Romulan episode is a subgenre. This is, I would think, I would place this one in the temporal anomalies subgenre.
Mm-hmm.
So the Fates. Now, people, once again, I have to say that I am committed to the random aspect of this podcast. I do not fiddle around with the results that I get. And some people might find it suspicious that Swoozie is watching The Next Generation for the first time, and we randomly got a Next Generation episode. But I promise you, this is totally random, and the random whim of the universe picked season 6, so Swoozie had to jump ahead a little, I'm sorry, episode, the 25th episode, in fact. I think mm-hmm. it's second to last, or penultimate, as we say in the business. I don't know what business that is. Timescape, which is probably best known as the episode where Picard draws a happy face in the warp core breach smoke.
Which, before it, like, registered in my mind that at that point he was, like, having a mental breakdown, I totally laughed, too.
So this episode, we start off with Commander Riker has been... There are a lot of funny moments in this episode. Commander Riker is in sickbay. He's got these gashes across his forehead, and Dr. Crusher says, you really have to stop playing some game that he plays. And he says, oh, I didn't play that game. And she says, well, you have to stop working out with Worf. And he says, I wasn't working out with Worf. And so, of course, she says, how did you get these deep gashes? And it turns out that Data, while he's away at this conference, has asked Riker to watch Spot, his cat. And apparently Spot does not like Commander Riker, and Commander Riker does not like Spot. So Spot has attacked his face, apparently. Maybe because of the beard, I don't know. Given him some lacerations. So Dr. Crusher fixes him up And then he walks out. He basically pawns off the watching the cat to Dr. Crusher. And as he's leaving, there's an odd moment because he hands Dr. Crusher, like on a random tray, they apparently just have a phaser laying in sick bay, which I found odd.
Yeah.
And then he gives it to Dr.
Like
Crusher.
Like that's the opposite of what healthcare providers should be doing.
Right, you shouldn't just have
you
like,
with phasers.
No weapons should be in sickbay, I would imagine. And as a nurse, you should know this, right?
Yeah, like I don't carry around a gun at work, so.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, although I guess I really do have access to lots of things that could kill you.
Well, that's true. Drugs and scalpels mm-hmm. and all kinds of scary things.
Mm-hmm. So be nice to your nurses.
That's right, people. If you learned nothing from this episode of Random Friend, be nice to your nurses. And so Riker, after this random spot thing, Riker goes up to the bridge. We find out that Picard, Troy, Geordi, and Data are all off gallivanting at a conference about the long-term effects of deep space missions on people's psyches. And that struck me as an odd assortment of people who would be going to a conference together.
Yeah, because none of them... really, like, their specialties don't really have much to do with one another's. Like, I can understand Troy as a counselor, mm-hmm. right, for, like, the psych aspect of it.
And you could say maybe Captain Picard, because he's obviously, he has to be aware of his crew's psyche. I don't mm-hmm. know why they didn't throw Dr. Crusher. That would have made sense to have Dr. Crusher going.
Yeah.
Instead of Geordi.
Oh, and that would have been a fun group of people to go on this kind of mystery-solving adventure.
Exactly. They would have had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason...
Like, why is Geordi there?
Geordi is the odd man out. And Data kind of doesn't make any sense either. But Data's a fun character. So, I mean, not that I don't like Geordi, but he doesn't...
And Geordi and Data together are always the best.
That is true. They are good. A good team.
Yeah, they're like the original Troy and Abed.
That's right. So they're all gallivanting about. And they get... well, Riker... The Enterprise gets a distress call from Romulans, setting it up. Apparently they have their engines are out of juice and they need help. So Riker thinks, oh, it's probably a trap, but let's go help them. And so they figure they have enough time to meet the runabout that has the four conference goers. They're going to rendezvous at a certain point at a certain time to pick them up because they're coming back from the conference. So Riker figures they have enough time to help the Romulans come back, pick up their crewmates, and then go off exploring as they do. And then we cut to Geordi, Troy, Picard, and Data on a runabout, which is something that was introduced in Deep Space Nine, and now this is, I think, the first time it's shown in The Next Generation, because shuttlecraft are too small. So they needed a bigger ship, but so they have a runabout. And they're sitting at this table having dinner and kind of reminiscing about the conference that they went to. And I thought the scene was really good because I have certainly gone to conferences with coworkers and we've had very similar meals together talking about how, you know, one person was bored and picked all the wrong sessions. Another person was super excited. And another person is kind of like, you know, just perplexed by the whole thing.
And I love scenes like this where it's just the characters talking with one another. Because mm-hmm. I like that's my favorite thing about this show is the characters. Because, you know, like. A lot of the episodes are a little bit cheesy, and, like, I love this show so much, but, like, it's also kind of fun to, like, poke fun at because, like, they just, things don't make sense all the time, and, you know, Prime Directive, what's that?
Well, in this very episode, some things just don't make sense.
Lots of things don't make sense, but, like, the interactions between the characters are my favorite.
Yes.
And, like, right. Deanna doing the impression of that one doctor who was trying to get her to have sex was amazing.
It's true. And Picard gets to do an impression of some lecturer who was lecturing for an hour on the wrong topic and then changed halfway through. So that's a nice little... It doesn't have anything to do with the plot, really, but it is a good character moment for all four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And as they are regaling each other with stories of the conference, all of a sudden, everyone but Troy freezes. And Deanna is a little perplexed by what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I should say that the freezing technology for actors has improved because I watched an original series episode where they froze, but in fact all they did was try to stand really still, and it did not work, especially because William Shatner's eyes were bugging out. He kept looking at everything over and over again. But in this, I believe they used some special effects so that they just kind of showed a freeze frame. And so Deanna is... puzzled, and then all of a sudden, after a few seconds, they come back to life and start off as if nothing had happened. And Deanna is troubled, and Geordi's like, "Deanna, what's wrong? Did something happen?" To which she answers, "I don't know." which I found a weird thing, because if you are sitting at a table with your crewmates and they freeze for like 30 seconds, something's happened.
like you know that.
Yes, exactly. You, if something may be wrong with you, something may be wrong with them, but something has certainly happened. and that is how the episode starts. And then we jump into the LaForge. Geordi is scanning Troy to see if he can figure out what's going on. She explains a couple times what happened, because nobody else experienced the same thing. So they're like, "Well, are you sure? Maybe you were, you know, hitting the sauce a little hard." They didn't say that, but
she did say that maybe she was a little tired.
And so they agree that something suspicious is happening. So they do a shipwide diagnostic. And Picard asks Troy, "Hey, explain again what happened." And so she jumps into her story. And then all of a sudden, she's surrounded by Geordi, Data, and Picard. And she's like, "Whoa, back up, little personal space, folks." and they explain to her that she was frozen for 3.5 minutes. And now they know something's going on. But they're still
now
not
quite
they
sure. Believe the woman.
That's right. Now that they've seen it themselves, they're like, "Okay. She wasn't lying like normal women." and then Geordi scans Troy for the second time, and he finds out that she hasn't aged. She should have been 23 minutes older, but she's only 20 minutes older. So they feel like something is happening with the time. And so Picard is like, "Well, let's contact Enterprise." They can't contact the Enterprise. They don't know where it is. So they speed up and hightail it to the rendezvous coordinates. And as they're doing that, the ship starts to freak out.
They are thrown about and everybody leans one direction.
That's right. They are very skilled at doing that. and the ship spins out of control, but Geordi and Data get it back into control. And they figure out...
Have you seen those videos where they've corrected for the movement, and you can like really see how they're throwing their bodies around.
There's a series of videos where they've done motion stabilization.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And so you can see the sets stay stable, but you see the actors just kind of really just they get into it. They're like throwing themselves around the bridge.
Yeah, there's one where Riker is like fully like rocking horsing his chair. That's really great. I highly suggest them.
You say a lot of things about Jonathan Frakes, but he gives it his all when he has to throw across the bridge. Back on the runabout, Picard says, "Okay, well, you figure out why this thing has seemingly been running straight for 47 days. I'm going to go in the back and run some diagnostics or scans or something." And at the beginning of the episode, they're around this table, and I noticed that there was this big bowl of fruit,
mm-hmm.
and because they kind of show it, they don't like zoom into it, but it is prominently placed. And I thought to myself, they're going to do something with that bowl of fruit. Nothing is extraneous. Like Chekhov's gun. This is Chekhov's bowl of fruit. If you show a bowl of fruit at the beginning of an episode, you have to use it. and Picard goes in, and it was lovely fresh fruit. He sits down at his console, and out of the corner of his eye, he notices the fruit is rotten. So he goes and does what I guess anyone would do, and is going to touch it, which seems like a bad idea, because I wouldn't want to touch rotten fruit anyway, especially not rotten fruit that has rotted within a minute of you looking at it.
Yeah.
And he reaches his hand in, excruciating pain, he pulls it out, and he has freaky long fingernails now.
His whole hand ends up looking crazy.
Yeah, he's got a crazy old man hand and super long fingernails. It's kind of gross. He yells out, and everybody runs in, and they're like, "Ew, your hand's gross. What happened?" and as they're talking, the fruit rots even more, and Data figures out that there is a temporal anomaly that has intersected the table, and it is also intersecting the warp nacelles. As Picard says, "Well, let's get the heck out of this temporal anomaly," then they find that they are basically surrounded by temporal anomalies. And they try to get into... What do they try to do? They try to get back to the rendezvous coordinates. And they do, in fact, after some careful flying, because there are these anomalies everywhere.
They have to fly very slowly.
They do fly very slowly. And when they get there, there's nothing. No Enterprise. They can't pick up the Enterprise on scanners. They don't know where it is. But apparently they can detect a very faint metallic thing somewhere. So Geordi says, oh, I detect some metallic thing, so let's go towards that. And Picard's like, okay. And so they fly. Yeah, they don't have anything else to do. and this is another thing that doesn't make any sense. So they're flying towards the metallic thing, which we all know is the Enterprise. And one assumes that their sensors are on, and they're sweeping space to figure out what it comes. And you would think, okay, well, the sensors are going to find the Enterprise and this other giant ship that the Enterprise is engaged with, we find out in a second. But no, who sees it first? Captain Picard, looking out the window, spots the
eyeballs.
Enterprise before anybody else. Which I found very strange. They need to check the sensors on that runabout, I think.
Yes.
So they notice, they find the Enterprise, hooray, but it is frozen in time, and across from it, hanging in space, is a giant Romulan warbird, and even worse than that, the warbird is seemingly shooting at the Enterprise, and the Enterprise is shooting a beam at the warbird's engineering deck, I guess. But they're frozen in time, so nobody knows what's going on.
It's a mystery.
It is quite the temporal mystery.
I love episodes like this, by the way, where they have to like figure out a mystery.
It is a lot of fun, and they had to figure out several mysteries. Like, they had to figure out how they can get onto the ship and interact with people without being sucked into the disturbance. And so they quickly figure out that if they use the emergency transporter armbands and attune it, do some technobabble, they can get skin-tight shields that will let them transport onto either ship and not get affected by the temporal disturbance.
They're in their own little time bubbles.
They are in there, exactly. And then they can do whatever they want. And Geordi tells them they should last an hour. And so they say, okay. And they go off to the Enterprise to figure out what's happening. And then the mystery deepens because they beam directly to the bridge. And who's on the bridge? Obviously, the Riker and Worf. But also a number of Romulans.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears as though one Romulan has pushed Riker to the floor. Another Romulan is actually at the helm of the Enterprise. And then there are a couple of Romulans about the bridge. So it looks like the Romulans have attacked, or perhaps sneak attacked, the Enterprise and have boarded and look like they're trying to take over the whole ship.
It's very bad looking.
It is bad. It doesn't look good for the Romulans.
It doesn't look good for anybody.
No, it doesn't. The Enterprise crew is not acquitting themselves well either. These are bad all around, especially since the Romulan ship doesn't look all that great. So, and so while they're looking at these consoles that apparently shouldn't be working but are working, they find out that there's some kind of energy disturbance in sickbay, and there's a big energy spike in engineering. So Deanna goes down to sickbay, and they send Data down to engineering to figure out what's going on. And Deanna goes into sickbay after she's startled by a person who is was walking in the corridor but is now frozen. She goes into sickbay and she finds Romulans, but she also finds one particular Romulan holding a disruptor and disintegrating Beverly Crusher, which is not good.
No, this doesn't look good for the Romulans either.
No, this is piling on more evidence that our Romulans, perhaps, are not being very nice.
No.
Data goes to engineering, and he finds out that there is a warp core breach happening. Picard goes to transporter room 3 to figure out what's going on, and he finds out he sees in transporter room 3 more Romulans everywhere they go, and Lieutenant Worf is frozen at the transporter console, and in a nice little thing he says, excuse me, Worf, and kind of pushes him out of the way so he can look at the console, and he figures out that he notices two things. One, Romulans are not armed, and one is injured, so it seems odd that they would be on like some kind of boarding party, right?
Mm-hmm.
And two, the Enterprise is actually beaming these Romulans over from the ship. The Romulans aren't beaming themselves over.
So things are not as they seem.
That is right. Something is going on, and we don't know what.
It's very fishy. It's a mystery.
It is a mystery. There's temporal anomalies, Romulans everywhere. And so then Picard and Troy meet Data. Actually, Data doesn't tell them what's wrong in a very cliche kind of Star Trek thing. He says, I think you should come here, Captain, because I can't tell you what's going on.
Yeah, through this direct connection that we have.
That's right.
And, like, you can't actually use any of the elevators or anything, so we're all climbing through shafts.
That's right. They have to climb through the Jeffrey tubes around frozen crew members just so that Data can tell them face-to-face. The ship is blown up. and this is where we find out. So the warp core breach, there's steam in a very, you know, true Star Trek fashion coming out of the warp core. And Data says, time has not stopped. Time is just running very, very slowly because the warp core breach is expanding and it's within Data's visual range. I guess he can notice that the cloud is expanding.
Yeah, it's moving fast enough that he can see it.
Exactly. Not that his human companions cannot, but he can see it. And so he is concerned because that means the Enterprise is going to blow up eventually.
In 9 hours,
yes.
Which is not too bad when you think about the fact that they've only probably got like 45 minutes left on their own time bubbles.
That is true. They do have to hustle, though. even more so because then Captain Picard goes over to the seemingly frozen smoke and he says, or steam or whatever it is, and he says, wow, it's, you know, it's fascinating to see this kind of thing this close up. And then they cut to Deanna and Data talking about, you know, oh, we really need to fix this. And then all of a sudden, Captain Picard is giggling this slightly unsettled giggle, and then they cut back to him, and he has, in the most famous scene of this episode, drawn a little smiley face in the steam, as we mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny, like Swoozy said, when you first see it, it's funny, but then you notice Captain Picard is laughing a little too much, and it's kind of out of his character to be doing this. And to be laughing maniacally.
he's obviously having a bit of a breakdown.
He's having a little of a breakdown. And then he, Data and Deanna are like, are you okay? Maybe you should come over here. And they pull Picard away from the breach. And then Picard starts to really freak out. He starts yelling. And he doesn't know what's going on. And so they think, maybe we should go back to the runabout. So they beam back.
Oh, I can't remember the actor's name now. What's the name of the actor that plays Picard?
Patrick Stewart.
Thank you very much. I feel like he's really channeling his, like, Shakespearean experience in this mental breakdown because it's very, like, overdone and kind of theatrical.
Yes, he really, much like Jonathan Frakes goes for throwing himself across the bridge, Patrick Stewart really goes for these mental breakdown monologue things.
Yeah, because not the first time it's happened to him before either. Like, he's done it on at least one other episode.
He's
had kind of like a very overdone theatrical mental breakdown.
He has a few breakdowns throughout the course of the seasons, but he's such a good actor that you buy it, you think.
Oh, yeah.
He's really going through something. But now they know that while their temporal little shields will last for an hour, they should only use it for 10 minutes because otherwise they'll go crazy. And then they have to figure out why the Enterprise is transferring power to the Romulan Warbird, and so the only way to do that is to go over to the Warbird and check it out. And so Picard says, well, Deanna, you've actually pretended to be a Romulan for a while, so you know the most about Romulan Warbirds, so I'd like you to come with me. And they're like, Captain Picard, you're not going because you're crazy. So they send Data, LaForge, and Troy, they beam over to the frozen Warbird, and we see the Spartan Romulan ship. There's not a lot going on there. Mm-hmm. Romulans have big shoulder pads, but they don't spend a lot on starship interiors, apparently.
They spend all their money on those uniforms.
That's right. They are very fancy uniforms.
They're shiny. They're very angular.
It takes a lot. The whole, I think the whole economy of the Romulan Star Empire is based on making those elaborate uniforms for their military. and they certainly have a lot of Romulans in that room, and they're all wearing those uniforms, so they make it up in volume. So they check out they see the engines seem to be offline, and Deanna says, that's impossible. Romulan ships are powered by artificial singularities that once they're turned on, they can never be turned off. Which is kind of cool. I didn't know that. So that all Romulan ships have an artificial black hole in the middle of them, which seems a little dangerous, but also a lot of energy, so it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go and they check out the core. And I don't know, this is, you know, I am not an engineer. I don't deal with singularities often. But they go to check it out, and the singularity is behind, like, this super thin panel that they can just open up.
Yes, with, like, no security code, nothing. Nope. Just, like, Jordy with his, like, fingers. It's just, like, boop.
And there it is. It's a black hole. Yep, there you go. This does not seem unsafe at all.
No, and you can get very close to it for it being, you know, an artificial black hole.
You can. You can just peer right in there and notice that there are spots that shouldn't be there that seem to have organic matter in them, which is yet another, it's adding to the mystery of this episode. Mm-hmm. What is this organic matter? Why is everybody frozen? What the heck are the Romulans doing? A lot of mysteries. How did Captain Picard clip his fingernails so quickly?
Oh, you know, one mystery we also kind of skipped over is that when Deanna is in sickbay, when she leaves, that one Romulan unfreezes.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. So,
and then we have another unfrozen Romulan on the Romulan bridge.
Yeah, so a female Romulan, she brushes against, and she unfreezes. And then on the bridge, after they look at, in the engineering thing, they start looking at the...
that's right.
Oh, he comes, yeah, he unfreezes shortly, because they start looking at the thing, the singularity, and Data scans it, and the act of scanning it apparently starts up time, and so we see a bunch of Romulans running around, trying to figure out what happens, and then we cut to the outside of Captain Picard on the runabout, and he's looking at the Enterprise, and the Enterprise blows up. And 2 seconds later, somehow, Data stops scanning, I guess, and then time reverses back to where it was, and it freezes again. So the Enterprise is whole, all the Romulans go back to where they were, and Geordi is like, that was weird, let me check something. And as he's checking something, he says, wait a second. Was this Romulan always here? And turns out, no, it wasn't, because this is one of the Romulans that can move. Although my problem was, earlier in this episode, Data says, oh, I have a full memory record of some, like, four-hour-long lecture that he attended. But he doesn't notice that a guy...
Yeah, there's, like, an extra guy in that area now.
You think that that is something that Data is perfectly engineered to notice immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't. Good old Geordi has to do it. But, sadly for Geordi, he is Romulan attacks him. It doesn't really attack him, but he grabs him and I guess disrupts his time shield or something. And Geordi falls and collapses on the floor, and so does this Romulan. And Geordi is going through some kind of brain aneurysm or something. And Deanna is like, oh, Data's like, we have to beam him back to the runabout so we can save him. And Deanna says, there isn't time to save him. And so she, in a very good move, she takes off his little time shield, and now he is back in the frozen time. So at least it gives him a little more time to figure out what to do.
Yeah, it's an impressive thinking under such pressure by Deanna there.
Data scans this Romulan guy, and he says, this is no Romulan. I don't know what it is, but it's not a Romulan. So we should do the obvious and bring it back to our runabout with us. I don't understand. The Star Trek people have an obsession with taking clearly dangerous people with them places. You think they would learn their lesson, but they don't. So they go back to the runabout, they do more scans, they figure out this guy's not a Romulan, but he is actually some kind of temporal alien who's taken over the Romulan's body. And he explains that he has done this, and he's very weak, and he has a weird kind of out-of-time voice, I guess. And he explains, oh, we're just here because we want to save our children, or our young ones, I guess. And they're like, mm-hmm. What are you talking about, your young ones? And he says, well, we have to put our children into our embryos into a gravity well so that they can mature. Which doesn't make much sense, but okay, I'll go with it. and he said, oh, we found this artificial gravity well, and we thought it was a natural gravity well, but it was an artificial gravity well, so now the kids are dying. And Deanna's like, artificial gravity well? Are you talking about the Romulan artificial singularity? Which of course he is. So I'm assuming they put that there just in case there are some slow viewers watching.
Yeah, because I thought that was very obvious.
Yes, they might not be able to connect the dots because it was 3 minutes ago where they explained the artificial singularity to us. So it turns out that the things that are floating in there are, in fact, these weird alien babies. And they have stranded the Romulan ship because they sucked all the energy out of the singularity to grow. But apparently it's not the right kind of energy. I don't know. And they're not doing well. And as a consequence, they have started all these weird temporal anomalies everywhere. And so the guy explains all this.
Damn kids, man. They're so disruptive.
Sorry, what can you do with them? You have to put them in time out, huh?
I know. Like, imagine if, like, every time your child had a tantrum because it was upset, it just, like, destroyed time.
You would make sure not to upset your child.
No.
You have all the ice cream you want.
You put me in a proper gravity well or I am disrupting time.
That's right. It seems like a reasonable request, though. I don't know. You know, I'm not a parent of a weird temporal alien, so I could be wrong here. And so this guy, the alien, is clearly in distress and he can't stay in the time frame that they're in. And he seems to be, like, fading out. Before he fades out, Picard's like, "Are there any more of you like you?" And he says, "Yes, one." And Picard's like, "Where is he?" And he's about to tell, but then he fades away. So we don't know where this other alien is. Although, as a viewer, we know that he is a she, and she is on Enterprise. So they figure out what's going on. What they do is they use a tricorder that they set up on the Romulan ship, and they are going to use it to scan remotely the anomaly, and the thinking is that will roll back time enough so that they can then place themselves to be prepared to stop the things from happening that should be, so that they can stop the warp core breach, Deanna can save Crusher from being shot by that Romulan bastard, and Captain Picard can be on the bridge and tell Riker what's going on. And so it seems like a fairly good plan. So they do that. They set it up. Everyone's in place. They say, you know, "Is everybody ready?" And everybody's ready. So they dial back time. Then they let it play. And Deanna appears and pushes Crusher out of the way and is about to shoot the Romulan when she says, "No, don't shoot him." And the Romulan says, "I wasn't going to shoot Dr. Crusher. I was trying to shoot this alien who looks like a Romulan but isn't a Romulan." The person they're looking for. But Dr. Crusher got in the way.
Which I really, like, want to know the series of events that led to that.
Because it doesn't look like... we saw where the other alien was, and she was totally not even near Dr. Crusher.
Yeah.
So I don't know how he could accidentally shoot Dr. Crusher, unless he is the worst shot in the Romulan Star Empire. And then we switch to Picard. Picard appears next to Riker, and Riker's like, "What? How the heck did you get here?" And Picard's like, "Don't worry. Here's what's happening. You need to stop the beam. We need to, you know, there's temporal things. You need to put all a bunch of stuff together." And Riker's very confused, but he does, as a good second officer or first officer does, follows orders. And the critical part of the plan is Data. He's in engineering, and he's ready to stop the crew member from starting the power beam transfer thing because the feedback loop causes the warp core breach, right? So that's what they want to stop. So just as he's about to stop the guy, well, just as the time is about to roll back, the Romulan, who isn't actually a Romulan,
dun, dun, dun.
Creeps up on Data and touches him. And so he gets, you know, she gets knocked out. He gets knocked on the floor. Time starts to roll again. And the crew member, whose job it is to start the transfer, presses some buttons. And then from his perspective, this must be really weird, because all of a sudden, Commander Data, who is several ranks higher than him, pops up from under the table. It says, "No, don't start the transfer." And the crew member, who does not seem startled at all,
No, not at all confused that any of this is happening. Which is like, I already started it, sorry.
Yeah, whoops. So this leads me to believe that Data spends a lot of time crawling under tables and surprising people. because he's like, oh, just another day in engineering. Lieutenant Commander Data is under the table. and so he's, yep, he's like, oh, it's, so the thing has started. So Data says, oh.
And we can't undo it now.
Oh, that's right. It's impossible to stop for
which
some reason.
Which makes zero amount of sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
That if you're sending an energy beam, at some point you're going to want to stop sending that energy beam.
Yes, but they cannot.
But for now, this is impossible.
It is totally impossible. They're the best minds in Starfleet are flummoxed. Picard says, all right, give me control of the runabout. And so everyone's like, okay, here. And what does he do? He flies the runabout into the beam. The runabout blows up. The beam is disconnected. And the warbird disappears. And so does the alien who was not a Romulan. And at that point, I thought, well, a bunch of Romulans have just died. Nice going. And that seemed sad. But they tell us very clearly all the Romulans were evacuated before the warbird disappeared into the other time stream.
Which also makes no sense because there were a lot of Romulans left on that ship.
Yes, it does make... unless they lead us to believe during like the 45 seconds between when they started time and when the Romulan bird of prey, warbird, got time vanished, they were just beaming like crazy, everybody over.
Yeah, just everybody simul-beam.
Exactly. Everybody pile in. but which wouldn't make any sense because they couldn't, the four people, well, three, because Geordi was knocked out, couldn't tell the people trapped in the time anomaly what they were doing. So they didn't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
And Riker's like, what the heck? Are you going to tell me what's going on? And in the most kind of cliched line, Picard says, well, that's going to take a lot of time. and then you think, well, that's a good ending point, but it's not quite the end, because to loop back to the beginning with Spot, Riker stops by Data's quarters in a very cute little scene. He sticks his head in, looks around, and says, where's that cat of yours? And Data's like, well, Spot? He's asleep. Why? And I really like this little shrug that Riker gives him when Data asks, why do you want to know about my cat? and then Riker comes in and says, oh, I have some reports you need to look at. And Data's like, okay. And we see Data is sitting with a pot of boiling water, and he is attempting to investigate whether a watched pot indeed never boils. Because this time spent dealing with time has made him think about how humans perceive time.
And makes him think about, like, 20th century idioms.
Exactly. and so he does this, like, 68 times, and it always takes the exact same amount of time. And Riker says, well, people don't have internal chronometers, which I thought was kind of rude, because Data is a person, right? He's just not a human. And Data's like, oh. So he turns it off, and then they have a little more small talk. And then the water's boiling, and Data is surprised and gives a very perplexed face, and the episode is over.
Aw, but I love when Data's, like, trying to figure out what it is to be a human.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's just the scene struck me as a little odd and perhaps not necessary. But once again, like we were talking about with the beginning where they were sitting around the table, it builds Data's character. So it was worthwhile for that.
Yeah.
So overall, that was the episode. What did you think of it?
I thought it was pretty good. Like I said, there's been kind of a few of these like time anomaly episodes. And I think it's because I've watched so much Star Trek in such a short amount of time that it just kind of feels like rehashing that plot line.
You have had a compressed experience.
Yeah, I've had a very compressed experience. But like I did say, I really do enjoy their kind of like solving a mystery episodes, which a lot of these time anomaly episodes are. Where you're trying to piece together like what exactly happened. And so, you know, you're like, you only know as much as they know. So everybody's kind of trying to solve the mystery at the same time. I think it's fun. Any episode in which Deanna is a major character is going to have a special place in my heart because she's my favorite.
I was going to ask you who your favorite crew members were of The Next Generation. So you
for sure, Deanna and Worf. I love Worf. So the Worf-centric episodes are great. I like his relationship with Alexander. I think I've heard quite a few people say they find Alexander annoying. I love the relationship between him and Worf. I think it's really sweet and endearing and like really challenges Worf. I love those episodes.
I think the best Worf episodes, well, they put Worf through so much, and the best Worf episodes are kind of the fish out of water. Let's make Worf as uncomfortable as we can possibly make him.
I am not a merry man.
Exactly. Put him in some green tights and see what happens. And Alexander certainly makes him uncomfortable, so that they have a good chemistry. Who are your every Star Trek series has some characters that are just super annoying, and so for the Next Generation, who do you think character-wise as annoying?
I feel like I am for sure in the minority with this, but I do not like Q. I don't like hardly any of the Q episodes. Mm-hmm. The only maybe exception to that is the one where Picard dies.
Oh, Tapestry.
Yeah, which I thought was a really good use of Q.
Yes, as playing.
Because he wasn't trying to be a jerk. He wasn't trying to trick anybody. You know, he was. I felt like he just didn't annoy me as much. But I don't like Q because I feel like he thinks that he's so great and like such like a high intelligent being, so much more than these like fallible humans. Except that he's constantly trying to like trick them or change the rules on them, and I don't know, it annoys me. I don't like him.
He's a jerk, basically. He's an all-powerful jerk. One of my favorite episodes of The Next Generation is a Q episode, but it's the Q episode where he becomes human and he loses all his powers and he is kind of a jerk.
Oh, that's a pretty good one too. They put him in engineering.
Yes.
And like Geordi gives him things to do and he's like, this is below my intelligence.
That's right. And then Geordi's like, well, we need to brainstorm how we can fix this problem. And Q's like, well, just change the gravitational constant of the universe. Duh. Wake me up when you're ready. And I also like the scene in that episode where Guinan realizes that he's lost his powers and she stabs his hand with a fork. So that's fun.
Oh, I like Guinan. I feel like they don't use her enough.
Yeah, they just sprinkle a little bit of Guinan in there. But she's a good, mysterious character in the Next Generation.
I did like those two episodes where they were in the Wild West.
Oh, right. Fistful of Data's is one.
Yes, yes. Oh, my God. And Data on the Enterprise with that accent is amazing.
It is true. He's another one of those characters where they kind of put him in a lot of wacky situations, although he does not have like the prim and proper honor of Worf. So it's kind of a different thing because he's like Pinocchio, right? He's a wooden boy who wants to be a real boy.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets him into a bunch of stuff. So let me ask you a very important question. What are your feelings about one of the most infamous Next Generation characters, Wesley Crusher?
Oh, I like Wesley, actually. I feel like nobody likes Wesley, but I really like Wesley. I'm not annoyed by him. And I love the episode with him and Ashley Judd.
Mm, with the game. And so my final character question, Reginald Barkley. How do you feel about Reginald Barkley?
He's growing on me.
He is one of my favorite characters just because, and I've said this a number of times on this podcast, but he is like nervous and bumbling and and everybody else on the Enterprise has everything together, right? And they're all so professional. And I feel like if I were on the Enterprise, I would totally be Reginald Barkley. Maybe I might not have his holodeck addiction, but I certainly would.
Oh my God, his holodeck experiences are phenomenal.
Yes. But yeah, so he has a special place in my heart.
Yeah, and he's on Deep Space Nine, right?
He is on Voyager.
Voyager,
he shows up on Voyager. Worf becomes a main character on Deep Space Nine.
Oh, that's exciting. Because that's going to be my next.
Oh, well, you have that to look forward to then.
Mm-hmm.
And I will warn you, much like The Next Generation, the first season of Deep Space Nine, trying to figure out its tone. So, but stick with it. It has beautiful story arcs, and Deep Space Nine is my favorite Star Trek series, so... you're in for a treat.
That's good to know.
Well, and speaking of treat, it was delightful to have you on this podcast.
Thank you. It was very fun. I feel like I could spend most of my days talking about Star Trek episodes. It's pretty great.
I agree. and I will definitely have you back if you had a good time.
Absolutely.